that I'm saved and in the family of God. Appreciate His grace. He came to me one day as a little boy, 14 years old, a church there in Yorkshire in Virginia. And the Lord graciously wooed on me that night to come to Him. Appreciate the saving grace of God. Appreciate His mercy. Appreciate the mercy seat that His blood was sprinkled on in heaven. I still think it is the best seat in the house. And so I thank God for that tonight. I'm glad to be in the family of God. I appreciate how He's worked in my own heart this week. And it's not over yet, so we'll just stay with Him until He's through with us here. So we'll be looking tonight in the book of Ephesians. And also, if you have your Bibles, I want to be reading a verse of Scripture. Several verses, I guess, in our opening tonight. And Isaiah 54, another portion of Scripture. I want to use the book of Ephesians as our premise tonight for what the Lord would have us to say. Several things in the Word of God that are mentioned. I'm amazed at how the Word of God is just sewn together with a common cord, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians is an amazing epistle. It is some folk have looked at it as the battle hymn to the believer, teaching us how to warfare in this fight that we are enrolled in tonight. So I do want to read a verse of Scripture there, and then we'll be looking in other places tonight. Let's look, first of all, the book of Ephesians is put together in mainly two sections. Doctrinally, first two chapters, and then practical use, or the practical side, in the latter 4, 5, and 6. And so we have the doctrinal side, which is the how-tos, or the how-to-do. The practical side is the what-to-dos. And so it's good to know how to do the what-to-dos before we start trying to do the what-to-dos. It always makes sense, don't it? Chapter 3, then, is the pinnacle, or the summit of the epistle, and it is a prayer in which Paul prays. It's the glue that puts the two together. And I appreciate what God is going to do through us for His honor and glory.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that He's saved us for a purpose, which He's had in His mind before the world began. And I appreciate the Lord allowing us to take part in what He's doing. And He allows us that opportunity by means of prayer, be able to yoke up with God in prayer, to be able to have the inside track, so to speak, to know that you are a partaker and can be a partaker in what God is doing here in this world. Chapter 3 is not the only prayer that he prays in this epistle. There is one in chapter 1. I do want to read to us briefly tonight, and I'll read a few pointers there in chapter 3 as well, looking at this wonderful truth tonight. I also want to look at the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 11, and we'll also flip over to 2 Samuel. I know it's a lot of reading tonight, but I do want to be diligent to be mindful of the Lord's Spirit tonight. Also in 2 Samuel 21. So there'll be four places of reading: Ephesians, Isaiah, 1 Samuel 11, and 2 Samuel 21. Right. We've got enough fingers to hold all those open and can stand for the reading of God's Word. I will invite you to do so, and I will read together and then ask God's help and direction for this time together. Ephesians chapter number 3 is where Paul is beginning to speak to these believers here, mixed of Jew and Gentile both. It's time there in Ephesus, in which Timothy was soon to be pastor here. And he understands where they're geographically located is an area much like the United States is today. A very blessed area, harbor that is hustling and bustling with goods and trade, and much like all of the New Testament churches. And so what a blessing it is. I heard someone say the other day, just by way of mentioning this, they said, mentioning, I guess, concerning to start or maybe follow God in planting a church in our day. Somebody said, I wouldn't do that in this day. And I say, man, I couldn't pick a better day to want to follow the Spirit of God in starting a work where He would lead. So every New Testament church that was ever started, planted by the Spirit of the Lord, was in the middle of society that was riddled with the same difficulties that we have today. On different scales, of course, but nonetheless, God is faithful in calling out His bride, and I thank God for that. Let's look here in Ephesians 3. I want to begin in this chapter 3 is a prayer. Of course, he pauses for a minute now. He kind of gets pulled away in the thought and then comes back to the prayer in verse number 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Thank God for that. Automatically now, he's already referring to these believers and reiterating them back to their position in Christ. And he's calling on God the Father in prayer. And he's saying to God, Lord, he's putting those saints that's already there and these Ephesians that's here and us tonight in the same category. The same way that God sees those up there, the same way God sees us tonight. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, there it is again, in the same category. What is that category? It's this, that those up there in the celestial city, those that are down here that are born again, are in Christ. Amen. And we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Or in the chapter 1, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. So now then, let's continue. That all saints will be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. His opening prayer in this, and I guess the way the Lord's led us tonight is to understand that Paul is burdened for these people. His heart is aching for them, that they would move forward into a state of maturity. I'm grateful as a born-again child of God that we are maturing children of God. I thank God that that we don't get to a state where we say that we are matured, or a level where learning stops with God. I'm grateful that there's always space to learn, and always newness that God can reveal unto Himself. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way Paul, when he began to testify of his own salvation experience, how every time he testified, whether it was before Agrippa or Felix or some other Roman ruler, he testified, and each time God grew bigger and he grew littler.
Amen,
brother. It's amazing that he said, the first time he said, I was on Damascus Road and there was a light that shined down from heaven. And he fell on his face. And then he said, the next time the Bible records his testimony in the book of Acts, he says, I saw a great light that shined from heaven. He was learning about God and he was maturing as God was aiding him and guiding him. And then the last recorded testimony of Paul, he says, I saw a light shine out of heaven that outshined the noonday sun.
Amen.
And so now then, there is a progression, a moving forward into a maturity. Paul is wanting now these believers to move forward. This battle hymn is equipping the saints to fight. I don't know how much I'll get into it tonight, but I do know that there are things coming down the pike that I'll go ahead and say a large part of us tonight are not prepared for. But I'm grateful that what we have, copy of the Word of God, and He's able to, through the prayer and through asking Him to direct our hearts into a state of maturing. The first prayer He opens with is this. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Learning of Him. Is that what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He wants us to learn about Himself. And he goes on and talks about his burden being light. Goes on and says, here now, as says in this same prayer, in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I want us to look now at the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, and we'll read the last verse. The Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.